Good evening. Tonight we're going to study on decluttering your soul. That's something we all need to do as Christians. We need to declutter our soul. And I've got five things that we need to throw out of our soul tonight to have a closer relationship with God. My wife used to say, when she was alive, she used to say, any garbage bag that my husband has put in or out in the trash bin, I'm grateful. She loves to throw things out. While I would never try to get rid of my wife, even though God chose to take her this just recently, because she was one of the best things in my life, and I would have held on to her forever if I could, but God chose to take her home. I do take pleasure in cleaning my cabin and clearing the clutter out. Not that it is always easy to keep it spotless, I struggle with getting rid of items that I really need, like practical garments, like the jacket that keep me warm through many a cold winter. But once I've removed the things I no longer wear, I'm left with space. Space that helps me see the clothes I still own, space that gives me a virtual and a visual breather. During this time of year, many of us will set goals and make resolutions. Experts tell us that one of the top New Year's resolutions is to get organized. So many of us want to get organized in the new year. So many of us buy big tuppets to organize ourselves and to pack things away after Christmas. Listen, my friend, we pull so many things out of our homes and declutter our lives after Christmas. What if we did that the same, paid the same attention to our hearts and decluttered our souls? What would that be like? What if we took those things that keep us from having a relationship with God and pulled them out of our souls, not to hold on to them, and tell us and give us a cleaner soul? Give us a soul that is really yearning after God. Give us a soul that really holds on to God. What if we tried to do that? What if we did that and gave the same attention to our souls as we give to our houses? Ask yourself that question. Do you give the same attention to your soul as you do your house? What do you have a tendency to hold on to that actually harms your relationship with God? What attitudes crime our hearts and crowd out peace and joy? Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 13, and let's read verses 11 through 14. The Bible says, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for those that have come out tonight to hear your word. We pray for those that could not be here. We pray for those, especially, that have lost loved ones to this great disease that is rampaging our land. We pray, Father, for everyone that is afflicted tonight, that is hurting tonight, that has any kind of ailment. We ask you, Lord, to heal their bodies. We ask you, Lord, that you would just bring peace upon our land and heal our nation. And we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. If you want to declutter your soul, consider throwing out these five things. First of all, consider throwing out sin. As human beings, we all sin. Romans 3:23 says this, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter how perfect you think you are. We have all sinned. People all the time try to say they try to avoid sin. But we have all sinned, the Bible says. All of us have committed sin and come short of the glory of God. As humans, we are no strangers to sin. We all make mistakes. We all disobey God's holy law. I, for one, blurt out hurtful things to my wife in the heat of the moment at times. I rush through life, focused on my own needs, and forget to show kindness to people at times. I neglect my relationship with God when my mind gets so busy focusing on life's many issues. These sins can weigh down our hearts. Even the psalmist, David, experienced this. This is what he wrote in Psalms 32, verses 3 through 4. When I kept silence, my bones vexed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. David felt the weight of his sin when he neglected to confess them. The heaviness of unconfessed sin filled up the closet of his heart and crowded out the light of God's grace. But David knew the answer. Clean out the closet. That's what we need to do. We need to clean out our closet of our soul. We need to take those sins that are sitting in the back of our mind and our heart and clean them out. Move them completely out of our life. David goes on in verse 5 of Psalms 32 and says this, I acknowledge my sin upon thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Because Jesus took the punishment for all of our sins, big and small, we can receive forgiveness of our sins, because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, Christ is able to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our wrongdoings, God completely cleanses out the closets of our heart and makes room for His grace. If we want a soul decluttering step, let's read Psalms 32. Psalms 32 says this, starting in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is a godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye, but ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal sinful actions you've done and harmful attitudes residing in your heart. Ask God to completely clean them out of your soul. Rejoice in His forgiveness and grace. The second thing we need to throw out of our soul is shame. Even after God has cleared out all guilt, we may continue to store up shame in our hearts. What's the distinction between guilt and shame? Researcher Bryn Brown defines the difference this way. Shame is a focus on self. Guilt is a focus on behavior. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I did something bad. Guilt can help us in our relationship, it can hinder in our relationship with God and others. While we feel remorse over something we did, we can go to God and receive His forgiveness. When we've messed up with a friend or family member, we can go to God and him or her and attempt to make amends. However, shame keeps us stuck in feelings that we're too flawed to be loved, too unworthy to belong. Thankfully, God's Word continually reminds us that He never dulls out His love based on our behavior. He loves us in the spite of our sin because He is love and His love is unconditional. The Old Testament is full of words of judgment against the people of Israel who repeatedly disobeyed God's instructions. But even when they ignored His law, God reassured them of His constant love. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4 and 5, God tells the Israelites this, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is His name, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall be He be called." In other words, God says, "Yes, I know you've messed up, but I still love you. Return unto me. You don't need to wallow in shame. I love you like a husband loves his bride." Soul decluttering step number one. When feelings of shame and unworthiness start to fill the closet of your heart, remember that your Maker loves you just the way you are. God created you, and He created you to be just the way you are. Because Jesus, He has made you worthy of belonging, and He can remove your shame. The third thing we need to throw out of our hearts is anxiety. All of us are anxious. All of us are anxious for the coming of the Lord. All of us are anxious for different things in our life. We don't occasionally store up fear and anxiety. Simply watching the news can fill us with apprehension. We worry about our health. We worry about our families. We worry about our finances and our careers. These fears can fill our hearts with dread and crowd out hope. God invites us to get rid of that harmful emotion of anxiety. His Word tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful. That word careful is anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. These words remind us that God wants to purge the anxiety that fills our hearts, and so He invites us to talk to Him about every concern that we have. He does not want us to be anxious. He does not want us to have anxiety. He even promises to pour out something better into our souls. Look in verse 7. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Listen, if you'll allow God, if you'll go to Him in prayer, If you won't be anxious for nothing, and you won't have that anxiety living in your heart, you'll bring everything to God in prayer. What does God promise? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Once you've given God all of your worries, He will replace them with His peace. Here is a soul decluttering step. Grab a piece of paper and record your worries and concerns on it. I want you to do this when you get home. Grab a piece of paper, record every worry and every concern you have in this life. Then give them all to Jesus as you rip up the list. Thank Him for taking them off of your hands. Picture the door of His peace guarding your heart and preventing anxiety from re-entering. The fourth thing we need to declutter our soul from is bitterness. We've all been hurt. Somebody might have hurt you. A friend said something offensive to you. People we relied on deserted us when we needed them the most. We live in a broken world with broken people. We can't escape pain. But that doesn't mean we need to let it accumulate in our hearts. When we store anger and hurt, bitterness begins to grow and squeezes out joy and happiness. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Listen, God doesn't want us to fill our hearts with bitterness and hate. After all, what kind of Christian life is that? We may think we are punishing the other person by withholding our forgiveness, but storing up anger will only hurt yourself, stealing your joy. God gently reminds us that we don't forgive because the offender deserved pardon, but because He has forgiven us of our sin. We don't extend mercy because they aren't guilty, but because storing up bitterness only makes us feel miserable. Here is a soul decluttering step. Take the stock of your heart. Have you been holding a grudge? Have you been refusing to forgive someone? Do you have anger against a brother or sister? Ask God to help you get rid of that bitterness stored in your soul. And finally, the fifth thing that we need to declutter our heart from, and this is important, comparison. Comparison. After we've cleared guilt, shame, anxiety, and bitterness out of our heart, what's left? For many of us, comparison still hides in the corner. The kind of comparison that leads to feelings of dissatisfaction and inferiority. I might compare my modest home to a 4,000 square foot home a friend has and no longer feel content. I may look at a high flying career of a neighbor and feel less than he is. I may look at a pastor who leads a church with 1,000 members and get very anxious about not being adequate to serve God. When my shape looks nothing like the shape of the model on the magazine cover, I believe I don't measure up. Galatians 6 verse 4 warns us against this harmful practice. This is what it says. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. This is something we all do. We all compare ourselves to someone else. We all have this sign that we want to compare people to the way we live, and that is wrong. God has placed you in this world to live your life the way He's designed it. God says if you'll allow Him to work in your life, He'll lead your path. He'll give you the way to go. But what is wrong with comparing ourselves to other people? Listen, God may have given this pastor a bigger church because he was designed to pastor that bigger church. God may have given another pastor only a small church because he was designed to preach in a small church. Don't ever compare yourself with other people. That is one of the worst things you can ever do. God knows the comparison will only leave us feeling empty. He asks us to instead look at our own lives, our own work, without attempting to measure them against others. Listen, you may be less by the world's standards. You may be not be measure up to other people by the world's standards. But let me tell you something. God made you exactly the way you are. God created you to be who you are and to serve where you're serving. It may not be where you want to serve. But let me tell you something, my friend. God has instilled within you the gifts to serve where you're serving. He may have not gifted you to serve in another area. He may not have gifted you to be a singer, to be a teacher, to be a preacher. He may have gifted you to sit in a pew and learn from the Word of God. He may have made you a soldier in the kingdom of God to get out and witness to people. Some people go out in the world and win 1,000 souls. Some go out in the world and don't win any. Why is that? Because they may not have been equipped to be a witness for Christ. That does not mean we don't need to go out and try. God has given all of us a testimony. The testimony of how He has changed us. How He has made us a new creation in Christ. All of us have that as our testimony. And we can all share that. Listen. Some practical ways to curb your comparison tendencies might include unsubscribing from magazines that make you dissatisfied with your home. Try limiting your time on social media, which offers a myriad of comparison opportunities. Take stock of which activities tend to fill up your soul's closet with feelings of less than and limit them whenever possible. Here is a soul decluttering step. Ask God to help you throw out your tendency to compare your life to others. Listen, you'll never measure up if you try to compare yourself with somebody else. Because somebody else will always be better than you. Somebody always will have a bigger car than you. Somebody always will have a bigger house than you. Somebody will always have better children than you have. Don't compare yourself to other people. Ask God to throw that comparison out of your life. Ask God to make you anew. Ask God to remove that. Remember that your loving Father made you exactly as you are for a reason. He made you the way you are to serve Him. And that, my friend, is what you need to realize. Embrace your uniqueness. Store up gratitude for the life you have. This season, whether you clean out the closets in your home or not, take some time to access what you have stored up in your heart. Your Heavenly Father invites you to let Him remove the sin, shame, anxiety, bitterness, and comparison tendencies that pile up in the corners of your soul. Instead, He will fill your heart with His joy, peace, and love. Listen, my friend, God does not want you to have shame. God does not want you to have the sin in your life that keeps you from serving Him, that keeps that fellowship with God broken. Listen, you can never lose your relationship with God, but we can lose our fellowship with God when we have sin in our life. That's why God wants to remove that sin. Go to Him. Ask Him to forgive you that sin. Ask Him to take that sin away from you. And He certainly does not want you to live in shame. He made you the way you are to serve Him the best of your ability. You may not be as good as someone else. You may not be as good a singer. You may not be as good a preacher. You may not be as good a witness. But God made you exactly how you are. Don't live with the shame of not being as good as someone else. Don't live with anxiety. Get that anxiety completely out of your life. Anxiety does nothing but keep you from serving God faithfully. Anxiety will take your joy away. Anxiety will take your peace away. Anxiety will take everything that God wants to instill in you completely away. And bitterness. Don't let bitterness control your life. Many people are bitter at fellow Christians. Many people are bitter at their neighbor. Many people are bitter at the postman. Many people are bitter at the person that they work with. Don't let that bitterness keep you from serving God faithfully. Don't let that bitterness take over your life. Bitterness leads to contempt. Bitterness leads to hurt feelings. Bitterness leaves you in a state that you will not have joy in your life. And finally, don't let comparison take hold of your life. Listen, you weren't created to be like somebody else. You were created to be who you are and to serve God the best of your ability, the way you are, with the talents you have, and serve Him faithfully the way He has made you. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You'll always be let down if you try to compare yourself to somebody else. You'll always be let down if you try to think, well, I'm not as good as he is. I'm not as good as she is. I'm not as talented as they are. Don't compare yourself to them. God made you exactly the way He wanted you to be. And my friend, that is what God expects you to do. God expects you to use the talents, the gifts, and the spiritual gifts that He has given you and use them to the best of your ability. Don't compare yourself to somebody else because you'll always be let down. You always will not measure up to their standards because you'll always find somebody that's better than you. You'll always find somebody that's better than you in preaching. You'll find somebody that's better than you in teaching. You'll find somebody that's better than you in singing. You'll find somebody that's better than you in witnessing. Don't worry about that. Use your talents to the best of your ability and do what God has called you to do. That, my friend, is what you need to do to throw that comparison out of your life. Listen, don't let these things control you. Don't let these five things I've mentioned tonight control you. Listen, God has a purpose for your life. God wants you to serve Him to the best of your ability with the talents He's given you in your life. If you'll just take those talents, use those talents, do what God has called you to do, and do what God has planned for your life. Listen, every one of us has a purpose in this life. Every one of us has a purpose to serve God in a different way, in a different job, in a different place in the church. So what we need to do is we need to focus on the talents God's given us and the will that He has put in our life to do that job and use that talent the best you can and use it for God's glory. Because that's all God expects of you. God expects of you to use the talents He's given you to the best of your ability. You may not be like somebody else. You may not win as many souls to the kingdom as this person over here. That doesn't matter. God has given you the talents to do what He's called you to do. Use it to the best of your ability. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the people that are here tonight to hear Your word. And we ask You, Lord, that You would bless this message, that it may go out into the world through the people that come to our website, that they may hear this message and use it to the growing of Your kingdom as You help them to declutter their souls. We pray for those here that tonight that may be lost, that You would convict their hearts and help them come to relationship with Jesus Christ. Help them put these things aside and come to You, bowing before You, asking them to forgive You of your sin, asking You to help them have a new life in Jesus Christ. We ask You, Lord, that You'll bless this invitation, for it's in Your name we ask it all. Amen.